The world of construction is transforming before our eyes. How we design, plan, quantify, and build is changing day to day. But it's never been so easy to connect, share, and bring people together. Our industry is reshaping. So how do we develop relationships? How do we overcome our fears? How do we generate business? And how do we ultimately become the best version of ourselves?
This is Made to Measure. I'm Mick Donaghy. My guest today is...
On this episode of Made to Measure, we are joined by Cherie Taylor. Cherie is the Queensland Specification Manager of Blue Scope Steel, one of only two steel manufacturers in all of Australia. With nearly a decade and a half with the company, Cherie discusses how she went from a work experience volunteer to business development manager and now specification manager of all commercial and civil construction projects throughout Queensland. Cherie is also the co-vice president of Queensland for the National Association of Women in Construction. We discuss what NAWIC is doing to promote diversity in construction and how everyone in the industry can help make the sector a little bit more equal. I love this episode and I really hope you enjoy it too. This is Made to Measure. This is Mick Donaghy and my guest today is Cherie Taylor. How's it going, Cherie?
Hi, Mick. Thanks for having me.
And for the guests and the audience out there, do you mind introducing yourself, as I can never seem to do it justice?
I am Cherie Taylor. I work for Blue Scope Steel. I've worked for Blue Scope for 14 years now across New South Wales and Queensland. My current role is the specification manager for Queensland for Blue Scope in our commercial projects. Also, I am the co-vice president of the National Association of Women in Construction, the Queensland chapter as well.
Awesome. So I can't wait to discuss that with you, Cherie. But I kind of wanted to go back to the start. So obviously you've been with Blue Scope now for 14 years, which is incredible. You don't normally see people sticking around for that long. So they must love you and you must love them. It's a partnership made in heaven, I guess.
I think you're right. Sometimes I have to remind myself that it's not a family. But that has pros and cons, feeling like a family.
Yeah, I'm sure, like any family. But I guess I want to go back to the beginning then, Cherie. And what was the reason that you got interested in construction and the manufacturing industries?
Yeah, well, I guess I started primarily in manufacturing. So Blue Scope is one of two steel manufacturers in Australia with the blast furnace and major production facilities in Port Kembla in New South Wales. And I grew up in Wollongong, so I had a lot of exposure to Blue Scope, the steelworks, which was BHP. It has been there for close to 100 years. And even my history professor at university worked at the steelworks. My dad this year will be celebrating 45 years at the steelworks. He's still there.
Amazing.
He works in the coke ovens. So I guess you could say it was in my blood. It was always in front of me. I grew up with, I guess, my dad working at the steelworks, having a great experience. It's just such an interesting place. It is absolutely huge. And I've always loved tangible things. So putting effort into something and seeing a result. And I think that both in manufacturing and construction, you can start with a couple of items and have these absolutely amazing products as a result of the effort that goes into them.
Excellent. So you've grown up around the industry and really seen it from sort of day one right through to now. So what was it like then, sort of growing up in that type of, you know, household and that work dynamic? Was it something that was really sort of ingrained into you from an early age?
Yeah, I remember asking my dad, to constantly explain how steel was made, which
sure.
I could probably just explain it now. It's always quite complex. I always grew up with a really strong safety culture. Mm-hmm. BlueScope has a really strong safety culture. So, you know, I'd be reprimanded for not holding onto the railing when going up and down the stairs like my children are now. I guess the other thing is it gave me, and I've spoken about this before, but seeing, I think, my dad, who's a really great guy, you know, with really strong morals, and, you know, I'm one of five children as well, with three girls. And, you know, my dad really gave us anything he could and worked really for us kids. But he worked in a male-dominated environment. So I think me going into a male-dominated environment really gave me a good grounding in being able to relate and, I guess, and thrive and connect with a lot of the men in that industry.
Excellent. And my old man is a plumber, but he always told me, never become a plumber. So I guess your dad never told you that then?
I don't think he had much of a say.
Yeah. Well, he told me never to become a plumber, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll become an architect. And he's like, don't become an architect either. I guess he was like one of those guys on site that when an architect shows up, he's always throwing stones or something at them because they're always changing the drawings and designs of things.
Well, I think my poor dad with us three girls, you know, just was told by us what we were going to do.
I can guess that. So you didn't study like manufacturing or construction then?
No, I studied psychology and I studied business and I even did a history minor. I thought perhaps I would one day go back and do psychology. I did a human resources management major in commerce, mm-hmm. But I've, you know, never worked a day in human resources management, or I've never become a registered psychologist. But I started at the Steelworks when I was still at university. Actually, I guess my first foray with BlueScope was I worked at the Entertainment Centre in Wollongong, and they were doing a conference there, and it was with their HR team. So I just boldly asked if I could come in for work experience.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So not even come in for an interview, it's come in for work experience?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was unpaid, and I just did, and, you know, they obliged. So Carmen, who set that up for me, still works at BlueScope. I still have interactions with Carmen. She's fantastic. Yeah. And then I ended up applying for an entry level role. It was in the customer service team, and I started not long after that.
So when you were studying, obviously, business and psychology, did you ever think that you would end up in that type of industry?
I don't know if I really thought about it greatly.
Has,
yeah.
has it helped you in any way?
I think so, definitely. Well, I know definitely the listening skills with psychology and understanding how different people operate. And I think if you can understand and appreciate our differences as people, I think that means you can have a bit more grace in, you know, in dealing with how other people act at times.
Yeah. And obviously the construction and manufacturing industries are so big, you know, and you're dealing with so many different types of people. Having an understanding of how the human brain operates, I'm sure, is going to have some
Definitely.
Type of advantage.
And I think that, you know, the main person and really the only person that you can ever control in the world is not your children, definitely not,
yeah.
But is yourself as well. So, you know, that's something that I've never stopped wanting to learn about is my self-awareness and my self-growth as well. And
awesome.
Understanding what works for me and what doesn't work for me.
Excellent. So you mentioned that you started off at like an entry-level role, but what type of role was that?
So I started in customer service, where I got a really good understanding of who our customers were, which is a significant number of customers. It also gave me a really good understanding of the supply chain of mm-hmm. of our steel manufacturing supply chain, which spans nationally, and also the complexities in that supply chain as well.
Mm-hmm. What were the main sort of challenges then with that?
I think probably being, I guess, young and green, it was, you know, I realised how much they don't teach you at university in terms of people management.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the greatest things that we enjoy and one of our biggest challenges in the workplace is the people that we work with. So I felt like that was a bit of a baptism of fire. In my previous roles, I probably more worked with people my own age but that was a huge diversity in, you know, women at all ages and also men at all ages, and understanding, I think, how I would carry myself professionally, and a bit of, really, honestly, a bit of trial and error in that as well.
I always think that, like, your first couple of roles in your career kind of shape you in some ways. Like, your learning is just incredible, you know?
Like, yeah, and I think that you are up for anything. So I changed roles over that next probably 4 or 5 years. I changed roles quite a few times. And I remember someone saying to me a word of caution that if I kept changing roles so much, I may, you know, get a reputation of not sticking to something and finishing it. But over the last 10 years, I've really had, you know, two roles that I've stuck at. And I really don't regret taking on a number of challenges through those years. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I can learn quickly, and it really did give me a level of understanding and a breadth of understanding as well.
Yeah.
And I think, well, you can, you should take those chances and you should push yourself.
I think so. You have to kind of find out who you are and what you're good at and what you like and what you don't like.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, life can mean that you can't make as many changes or as big as changes. You know, where there's a will, there's a way, and you always can. But, you know, I did have a lot of flexibility in my life at the time, and a lot of energy and a lot of time to learn as well. Mm-hmm. So, I don't regret that. I did a lot of fun things. I moved into our logistics team after that and worked on business improvement projects, which was really interesting to understand how to break processes down. And in my role now, where I'm dealing with multiple stakeholders, I find that's a really important skill. And a lot of people always tell me I think quite logically, mm-hmm. and are surprised by my logic. And I really think that that comes down to being in logistics and having to look at a supply chain and the movements of products and understanding where those products could get caught up and where those potential problems could arise, and mm-hmm. trying to mitigate those and trying to be a few steps in front to avoid issues further down the track.
So just so I understand, so obviously I don't work within the sector. So can you give me an example of that? Like, you know, are you supplying products to, you know, a mine site or a construction site,
yeah,
and
sure.
you're sort of envisaging what where it's going to be delayed across the supply chain?
Yeah, so at the moment, my role is specification manager for Queensland in commercial projects. And when we say commercial projects, that's commercial and industrial building projects. So I guess that the essence of my role is to grow the pie of steel share. So increase steel in the designs of buildings, and that would be steel used as, I guess, in place of others when it's a superior solution. So when you're doing that, you are working early in the design. You may be dealing with a developer or an architect, potentially an engineer. That design is then passed on perhaps to a builder, a DNC builder, and you need to break down what type of contract that is, and you need to understand, I guess, what every stakeholder's drivers are mm-hmm. to potentially use your product or not use your product, and then understanding what you need to demonstrate about your product at that point and the benefits for that particular stakeholder. So then we don't actually supply many building products. We sell then to a customer who will be a fabricator. They'll fabricate the steel into an actual building product and sell it to a subcontractor who then supplies it to a builder. So I guess there's multiple people in that channel. And then laying over the top of that, you have, you know, the NCC, you have your building codes mm-hmm. and you have Australian standards, and you might have other, I guess, government regulations that you need to fit into as well. So it's just working your way through that matrix.
So it sounds like you have to keep a lot of good relationships across yeah. the board. How do you manage that?
Oh, I feel really lucky in Queensland. You know, everyone I deal with is awesome. I've learned so much from the people that I deal with. I think there's so many great people out there. How do you build great relationships? That's a good question. I think that you have to be curious. And I really think that you need, which I am, so that suits me. I guess that's my way of doing it, is just having a really open mind and having a curiosity around understanding everyone quite authentically, because everyone is different and has their different drivers. And I think it's being your authentic self as well.
So not being afraid to ask questions and maybe...
Yeah, I guess so. But ask, yeah, yep, being curious, listening a lot. Yeah, asking good questions, but being researched enough so mm-hmm. as well. So doing enough research before that you can ask, I guess, good and fair questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't waste their time asking stupid questions. Yeah, yeah, I've been there before, believe me.
Well, unless people are just really nice to me. But, you know, people often like talking about themselves, you know, hence... You know, I agreed to come on today, didn't I?
Yeah, that's true. I know. There's me asking the questions. But so I guess when you went into, because obviously you mentioned that you've had a few different types of roles. Say, you know, one of your longest serving roles, which is as a development manager, you know, did you have to come in at any point and establish relationships off the bat and sort of win new business relationships?
Yes. Yes, very much so. Yeah, I've had to do that quite a few times. I've had 2 maternity leaves. Or 2 parental leaves in the last 10 years. And in most of those, I've come back to a new, I've had to rebuild a new customer base and also coming to Queensland as well. And now at the moment in my role, there's so many projects out there and so many project teams that even if I know someone within the organisation, I'll still need to build a relationship with somebody else.
I just find building relationships like one of the most fascinating parts of every business, because it doesn't matter what you do, whether it's you're the CEO of Deloitte or, you know, someone on site working, you know, you have to build good relationships, you know. So it's always something I'm always quite interested in discussing. But I noticed from your one of your LinkedIn posts a few weeks ago, you mentioned that you were the first female in 5 of the 7 roles that you've had.
So
what's that been like?
I think exciting at most times. I've never really thought about my gender a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I guess I've just put myself forward for roles or got interested in roles that attract me. And I think that I've just felt that if other people will just have to come along for the ride on that. At times I have had pushback in terms of, and it has been explicitly told to me that it was gender related, and that was a really interesting conversation. I confronted the person about that, and we had a really open discussion around gender. Mm-hmm. And I did get the job in the end, so that was ended up being one of my strongest relationships between myself and a manager that I've ever had. From being able to have that really open discussion. I think back to that now, that must have been 10 or 11 years ago, and I still think, oh my goodness, I was so bold to do that.
Yeah, good for you though.
Yeah, it was. And I think that you know the people that you can have those conversations with as well, and I am proud of myself for doing that. We ended up reporting into him. We ended up with a team of all girls, and even at his retirement, you know, he attributed us, you know, us 3 females as one of his best teams. And it wasn't a gender thing. I think it really comes down to capability as well. That's what I've really focused on. Our CEO at BlueScope did, you know, some wonderful work around capability and that story around let's focus on capability.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. And I guess there's various topics that are brought up around gender. And some people, I hear people say things like, oh, you know, they're getting a job because of their gender or they're not, or, you know, that debate comes up at times. And I guess my response there is I don't ever want to get a job just because I'm a female.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, I never don't want to get a job because I'm a female either.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to be valued for who you are.
Exactly.
An individual.
Very much so.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. Like over my career, I've only ever had one company say to me that they don't want the female, but I've had so many say that they do want a female. And I guess it's maybe just the paradigm shifting in some ways, where companies are looking for more diversity and the right people for the right roles. But I guess that maybe brings us on to your obviously your role as co-vice president of NAWC. So for those that don't know, NAWC stands for National Association of Women in Construction. What do you do as co-vice president, Cherie?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the chapter has so much happening at the moment. I co-chair vice presidency with Penny Corner, who's executive director for the Master Plumbers, and the president is Jennifer Gillette, who is a project manager at Suncorp. So we have a number of committees that work and do fabulous work for NAWC in Queensland. And a lot of it is working on the strategy, I guess, helping steering the ship, you know, signing off on various initiatives, providing support on those guidance, and ultimately, I think, putting the strategy together so we can, I guess, bring our major stakeholders along for the ride as well.
And what sort of issues do you essentially, is it more so of like a collaborative environment, or what actually happens?
What actually happens? That's a great question. Look, a lot of it is, I'm happy to go through that. We have really fabulous events. And I think firstly, in terms of our members and who are women in construction in Queensland, we are focused on, it's the women on tools and the tradeswomen and tradespeople, definitely. And those roles at the moment, it's believed are only 2% are held by women. Then there's a number of other, I guess, professions that are also involved in the construction industry, such as mine, I guess, as a supplier. You've also got developers, designers, you've got associations. There's a lot of lawyers working in the construction industry as well. There's engineering, there's universities. We've got an amazing, Fiona Lamari is a lecturer at QUT and heads up one of our divisions. We've got fantastic people from state government. So there are so many stakeholders in the construction industry. And of course, there's so many people working for our, you know, tier one, two and three builders, and then even subcontractors as well. So there's an amazing diversity of people that we represent and bring together. And how do we bring value to those members and to the industry at large? It's through events where people can network and learn and build their own, you know, networks for themselves, and also more broadly, even in a business sense. The Women on Tools committees do fantastic events to support women on tools and tradeswomen. Most recently as well, we've been working with QBuild and Housing and Public Works on the Exemplar project in Cannon Hill, which is they're targeting an all-female build. We were just featured in the Courier Mail last Friday a week ago, which is fantastic. We also do a number of scholarships. I was really lucky. A couple of years ago, I won the Australian Institute of Company Director course, which is an initiative by NAWC in conjunction with the QBCC to increase women on boards, because we do know that women are still underrepresented there, but it definitely is growing. So that's, you know, really building that capability as well. Our education and mentoring team do an amazing job. So they are working with schools and universities and increasing that education and support and really pushing people, girls, women, parents, to say this is a real option. The construction industry is a real option. I learned some stats with the WGEA, which is a government body focused on women and gender study analytics. And what they found was that females are often in the most unstable jobs. So when it comes to cutting people and cutting hours, that it's often women are in those jobs that get cut first, and often they're lower paid roles as well. The construction industry provides a very different landscape to that. So there is a lot of job security in construction. There's regular hours, and by most accounts, it usually pays well as well. So, you know, connecting those dots, it is a great employer of choice, and it is a great pathway for women. So featured in that article was Casey Bell, and she is an apprentice electrician on the QBuild site. And I was speaking to her about what her motivations were, and she said, I was working in a cafe and wanted some more stability. I'd done construction at high school and thought, you know, why not give it a go? And now she's loving life and being on site every day and, you know, is creating things and is passionate about her future in construction.
That's incredible. Like, I find it quite interesting that there's not more, like, what's happening at Nawick is awesome, but I would like to see it even more so, like maybe become sort of government regulation that, you know, someone is going in front of high school leavers and telling them about the career in construction for females and males, you know, because when I was in school, no one ever told me there was a career within construction. I only knew from it from my father, who told me never become a plumber, you know. Yeah. And then I ended up doing architecture, which I hated. So like, I think it should become sort of government regulation in some ways. But a couple of years ago, I put on an event in Auckland, mm-hmm. and it was for graduates essentially finishing their degree. And I nearly had around about 60% women at the event and about 40% men. And that might be because, like, I'm not too sure why, but I think there may have been, you know, what would typically happen was I'd invite one girl and they'd invite four of their friends.
Yeah.
Where I'd invite one guy and he was kind of on the verge. I'm not too sure whether I want to go or not, you know, but it was amazing. And I think out of the 10 or 11 people that got placed, about six of them were female.
Okay.
You know, so I think that what I'm trying to say is the power of events is so, you know, is so striking. And if you are able to go to any of these network events, you should definitely sign up.
The other exciting thing that we would love to get people involved in is we have an extremely successful mentorship program where you can either be a mentor or a mentee. And I've been asked to be a mentor over the last few years, and it's a bit daunting because, you know, how do you do that really well? You know, you want to do justice to this mentee. And this program provides support to the mentor and to the mentee as well. Mm-hmm. And we had, I believe, around 100 participants in the mentoring program that's just finished. And, you know, their skills for life and their relationships for life as well.
Definitely.
You know, it's a great friend and someone to look up to. And I think that goes both ways. I think anyone who I've ever been involved with mentoring, I've looked up to them and learned something from them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I've been a mentee before as well. And the value you get from it in terms of just having a sounding board, you know, like, because you can go home and you can talk to your friends, you can talk to your colleagues, or you can talk to your wife or your partner or husband or whatever it might be, but you don't really get the same thing that you get from a mentor in some ways, you know, like, they'll be honest and tell you the truth, not what you want to hear.
And also you've got that dedicated time set aside just to talk about, you know, your career as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes just talking about it over dinner or, you know, having a chat here and there with friends. Look, I completely believe in the power of those networks as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my sisters are some of my best, allies in terms of, you know, everything that I do in my life, whether it's home or work or whatever I'm doing. But I think having that structure, having that person who you can, check in with and that, you know, you can touch base with for many years to come, potentially.
Absolutely. I've actually signed up for another mentorship, but I find that it keeps me really accountable.
Exactly.
And I think that's kind of like, I would, you know, I pay for that just to keep accountable, you know.
Yes, absolutely. We had some results lately that it's considered, I think, one of Queensland's best mentor programs.
Oh, really? So, if there's anyone out there, just a casual mic drop,
as reported by Sheree.
Yeah. So are you a mentor then, or do you do mentoring?
So I haven't formally gone through this program, so I'm just in the process of signing up to the Nawick one, and I am super excited to do it this year.
Awesome. So I'm sure you'll have a few people reach out to you from this, just looking at for a bit of support.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, I'm here to support everyone.
Awesome. So I guess with regards to wrapping up, Cherie, what is it you love about the industry?
Well, I think, you know, we always come down to people, don't we? I think that there's really great people. I love tangible things. And I think whether we're manufacturing building products and or buildings and communities with that, we're creating a legacy for the future as well. And I've just been able to surround myself with so many good people, which I think has made me a better person as well. And, I really just think that there's so many people out there that are dedicated to creating, you know, a great legacy and a great platform, you know, for the world and the people, for our children that are coming through and, you know, and after that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a lot of fun as well, and it's challenging. And, you know, that's when you really have fun, is when you challenge yourself in a good way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's quite interesting because sometimes you don't realize you're getting into something, and then you'll realize 10, 15 years down the line, you're like, whoa, this has been an incredible journey, you know, and it started from this one application, or like when you were working in the entertainment center. Yep. And you just reached out and said, can I get some experience? And then 15 years later, you know, look at the journey.
Exactly. And I think some really good advice I heard, it was actually by Quinton Rice a few years ago at an event she was speaking. And it was around, it was centering on becoming a mother and, you know, motherhood and how that interacts with the workforce. And I think, you know, this is the same for any individual, whether they're a mother, a father, a parent, a carer, is that integration between what you learn at home and what you learn at work and who you really are. You can take lessons from both and apply them. And I think that's where you get to become really authentic as well, is when you can, you know, take from both worlds. Of course, there's levels of professionalism and, you know, there's you have different personas at work and home. But when you really start, you know, identifying who you are and how you work and being that true you, you're happier at home and you're happier at work, and you can take those lessons between the two worlds and mm-hmm. you know, become the best you.
No, well said, well said. I guess to finish off, what are you excited about within the industry?
Good questions. I think I'm really excited with what we've got planned for NAWIC next year. I really like telling stories, I think, both in the manufacturing industry and the construction industry, but definitely in manufacturing, we are quite conservative and we do a lot of, you know, really good things, and we don't necessarily always talk about them. So I think I'm passionate with my role, both in BlueScope and in NAWIC for next year, is telling some more, you know, really good stories and connecting the dots and, you know, providing learning opportunities for all of us to continue to grow and learn and, become good people, keep becoming good people.
Awesome. I think what I've really enjoyed about this conversation, Cherie, is that because you come from a different silo within the industry, you know, and within that sort of supply chain, and there's so many people out there who have been made redundant or have had a really challenge in 2020 and they've maybe only been applying for certain types of roles, and they might not know that these types of positions even exist.
Yep.
And again, that might be coming down to showcasing the stories and the brand and all that sort of thing, just to get the right, because you find that you'll drive so many good people into that sector of the industry. So I guess thank you for sharing your story today.
Pleasure. Yep, absolutely. I think that's a really good point, Jamie. It's, you know, showcase your transferable skills.
Absolutely. And if there's anyone who's listened to this and wants to reach out, is the best way to contact you sort of via LinkedIn?
Yeah, that's it. Yep, that'd be perfect.
Awesome. Well, thank you for doing this today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
It's good to talk to you.
Thank you so much for listening to Made to Measure. I really hope you enjoyed the podcast. This is the only podcast in the world that focuses on the niche area of construction costing. Therefore, as an independent podcast, your support is invaluable. Please like, share, screenshot, give a review, or just tell your friends and colleagues about the show. The more people that know about the podcast, the better the guests that we can bring to you, and the better the content you will consume. Thank you for joining me. I'm Mick Donaghy, and this was Made to Measure.